Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you can be seated. It is Reformation Sunday. We celebrate it every year. I'm always delighted to be reminded of God's work in His church. As we get ready to share some thoughts about this, I always want to start with one caution. A caution that we need to know on Reformation Sunday. And the caution is this, and you need to hear me say it. Lutherans are not the only Christians. I know. Shocking. I need us to know that. I'm glad to be Lutheran. I'm even glad to be Missouri Synod Lutheran. Howsomever, we sometimes talk about it in a way that make our brothers and sisters in Christ wonder if we accept them. So you need to hear this. It's good to be Lutheran. There's reasons we're Lutheran, and we affirm those, but we are not the only believers in Jesus. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Charismatics, are you ready for a really troubling thought? Roman Catholics are Christian. We have talked especially about our Catholic brothers and sisters in ways that have left that unclear. The church is made up of every single person on earth who trusts in Jesus as their Savior. It's as simple as that. Jesus, who died and rose again for the salvation of the world, is received by faith. And all who believe that are saved, no matter the sign in the churchyard. Now, with that caution in mind, I want to say, in addition to the caution, there's also a cause to celebrate. The cause to celebrate is that God has done His work through Martin Luther. And I want to say it this way, to call the church back to the truth, especially to the truth of the gospel. Last week, I talked about salvation history, the idea that God has worked in real time on planet Earth among human beings. God has worked in what we call history to bring about His plan of saving many. And He's worked through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Sarah, through Mary and Joseph to do His work. And that work did not end with the book of Acts. That work has included many people like Augustine, like Wesley, like Luther. God called Martin Luther at a particular time to make a particular point, and the point is still worth knowing. Now, I want to do a little background about Luther. Some of you are going to know everything I say. Some of you are going to think I didn't know that. Martin Luther is a real guy. He's on this banner over here, 1483 to 1546. 15th, 16th century German guy living in time. His family, early on, was poor. They were working class and did not have much, but his father was a hard worker, like many Germans are, saved up, scratched and advanced himself, eventually owned a business, prospered, entered the middle class, entered the upper middle class. That's Luther's family. Now, when you are a business owner and are entering the upper middle class, and you think you're doing pretty well for yourself, and you have a son who's really smart, what do you want him to do with himself? You want him to become a lawyer. Then and now. You think, if my son is a lawyer, the next person that sends me a nasty letter is getting a letter from my son, the lawyer. And so Luther went to law school to study to be a lawyer. Bright guy and a good student with good grades. As you probably know, he was walking home from school during break, and he was caught in a violent thunderstorm. and a thunderclap of lightning struck so close to Luther, it knocked him to the ground. He thought he was going to die. And he said, "Saint Anne, save me. I'll enter a monastery." That's the way a good Catholic of the time would have said it. "Saint Anne, save me." And he made a vow to God, "If you save me, I'll enter a monastery." And he lived, and guess what he did? He had to go home and tell his dad, "I'm not going to go back to law school. I'm going to be a preacher." And how do you think his dad took that? His dad said, "Oh, no, you're not." And Luther, "Oh, yes, I am." Luther's dad was disappointed in his decision, and not a little disappointed. He said so. And he said so for years. God, having worked powerfully through Luther in later years, it's good to know that shortly before Luther's dad died, he actually said to Luther, "I might have been wrong about that." I want to pause and make one quick point. Dads, I'm a dad. Dad, be careful to remember to communicate your approval to your sons. All right? They need that. All your kids, of course. But the sons need to hear a word of approval from their father. It's important. Luther entered the monastery, hardworking like his dad, but he was always torn up inside by the idea that he would never be good enough to be saved. Luther was bogged down in his sins. He thought about them. He meditated on them. He dwelt in his sin. He thought of his unworthiness, and he thought, "God is holy." He thought, "God is so holy that when he looks at me, he can only look at me in wrath." And God, in his wrath, Luther learned to hate his God. And he decided that the only thing he could do was to do good works and to do more good works and good works upon those good works. Now here's the question that raises. How many good works do you have to do to earn God's favor? Right? How much will it take to merit the love of God? More than you will ever do. And Luther despaired of it. Luther punished himself. He beat his body. He skipped meals. He slept on the floor. He confessed his sins every single day to his father confessor. And his father confessor said that Martin Luther had never confessed to one interesting thing. In that context, our epistle lesson was Romans 3. I want us to get there, but before we do, I want to read a verse from Romans 1. I want to read some verses from Romans 3. I want to read a verse from Romans 5. If you brought a Bible, I'm going to be in Romans 1, Romans 3, Romans 5. Think of Luther, cannot earn the favor of God, crushed under the judgment of God. And he read, by the way, the reason he read is Luther was a preacher, he was a monk, and he was a university professor. And the university assigned him, "Luther, teach a class on the book of Romans." So he did. And this is what he read. Romans 1:17. "In the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed." I want us to pause and hear the words. A righteousness, hear every word's important. A righteousness from God. Luther was reading it. Wait a minute. That can't be right. A righteousness from God. Luther was thinking, wait a minute, I have to come to God in my righteousness. You see what he's saying? My righteousness. But I'm never going to be righteous. This doesn't say that. It says there's a righteousness that comes from God, and if it comes from God to me, that's a gift. And he got that. This is different. A righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, not by my works. But by faith, from first to last, beginning, middle, and end, by faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Luther calls that his gospel discovery. Romans chapter 3. Verse 21, it says almost the same thing. Now, a righteousness from God. You've heard that phrasing by now again. By now, a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known. Wait a minute. A righteousness from God apart from the law. He thought, but wait a minute. The law is obedience. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. You can't do it. You cannot do enough. And Luther says, this says apart from the law. It's been made known by the law and the prophets. That's the way the Bible refers to the Old Testament. And I want you to hear a couple verses. I always love these two verses. They have to go together. Romans 3:23 and Romans 3:24. This is why I smile as I say it. Some Christians love to quote Romans 3:23. You ever hear that? Just 3:23. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. True. I'm not sure why some Christians act like that's one of the most important verses ever. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I want us to catch something. That verse does not end in a period. It ends in a comma. Because Paul isn't done with saying what he wants to say. Whenever you have a Christian say to you, Romans 3:23, I want you to say, and 24. Just do that. Know that trick. 23 and 24. Because 24 says, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Do you hear that? All have sinned and fall short of glory, and are justified freely. I am not sure why in our day sometimes some preachers preach mostly law. It's wrath and judgment and you're a sinner and we're sinful and unworthy. You ever hear that stuff? And sometimes people hear that and say, that man preaches the gospel. That is not the gospel. It's true, but it's not the gospel. I sometimes hear a phrase. With this sermon, I would encourage you to banish it. I'm going to tell you something I don't want you to hear or say or live in. And I sometimes hear people say the phrase Lutheran guilt. And I always think, where does that come from? It shouldn't be that the Bible is about sin and guilt. The Bible is about sin and grace. Some of us live in that world where I'm guilty, I'm unworthy, I'm fallen, I'm sinful. I carry this burden of guilt. Please be done with that. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace. That's the gospel discovery. You are precious to God and forgiven. Luther discovered this gospel and thought, well, this is the thing, man. This is the truth of it. This is what the Bible is about. It's in that moment that Luther, having discovered that gospel, that Johann Tetzel came into town to sell indulgences. Luther's thinking there's this wonderful gospel truth, and the church started to say, we have a way to get forgiveness. You can buy it. If you write the church a check, we'll give you your forgiveness. And so Tetzel had his pieces of paper. If you buy this indulgence, your punishment in purgatory will be gone. In fact, here's a great fundraising idea. Not just you in purgatory, but you can buy your grandma out of purgatory. By the way, that tells us the church has to be careful in how she raises funds. That's when Luther wrote the 95 Theses. 95 statements to question the biblical basis of indulgences. And he meant it to be a debate, not for everybody. He wrote them in Latin. He nailed it to the door of the church. I want to say this. If you ever need to leave a sign of protest about this church, please do not nail it to our glass doors. You can tape it. But Luther nailed it to the door. The door was made out of wood. You've always seen the memes about Luther standing there. I always want to say this. The church door was kind of the community note board. That's where you notified all kinds of stuff. It is true, Luther nailed up the 95 Theses. Next to it, there was a sign saying, Friday, ladies bake sale. But he did. He wanted to start a debate. He was asking the church, let's evaluate this practice. And the church said no. That's what got the Reformation started. When Luther said we have to examine everything we do by the light of the gospel, and the church said, Luther, you're wrong, he then thought, but if we're wrong about indulgences, what else? We can't talk about all of it in the course of a sermon, but obviously he began to write and study and think. This is the project. It was Luther's project. I would say this. It remains the project of the church at all times. The project of the church is to take this book and apply it to myself and to my church. Make sense? The project of the Reformation is not just to say Luther reformed the church in 1517. It's to say the work of Reformation is always to say, how are we doing, me and us, under the light of the gospel? Romans 1, Romans 3, Romans 5. I want to take one quick peek at Romans 5, verse 1. Bearing in mind, we're about the Bible, and of course the core, the heart, and the center of the Bible is the gospel, the good news of Christ. And so Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. So important, right? We have been justified through faith. We have peace with God. God is not your enemy. God does not hate you, and we are not to hate him. Bearing in mind what Luther had tried, it still does not work. Luther thought, I will be good enough to appease God. I'm not sure how, but sometimes people have that impulse. We sometimes think, if I make myself righteous, now I can come into the presence of God, right? We even do that now. We sometimes think there's this thing in my life. If I give up this, then I'm worthy of God. I want you to hear this. That's not the gospel. The gospel says you are acceptable to God right now. You have to know that. In Christ and his sacrifice, you are acceptable to God right now. Jesus did not say, make yourself righteous and then come to me. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, he is saying, if there's something you need to get rid of, we'll work on it. But don't make yourself righteous and come. Come to me and receive the righteousness from God, which is by faith in Christ. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.